KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06 this morning, we have sunshine and 47 degrees your temperature. We look for sunny skies and a high of 71 here today with north-northeast winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Should be another beautiful day in the Nishna Valley. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news on KJAN. The Page County Sheriff's Office reports a woman from Pottawatomie County was arrested Friday morning following a traffic stop for speeding. The driver of the vehicle, 30-year-old Johnny R. H. Kruger of Council Bluffs, was cited for speeding and driving while license revoked. A passenger in his vehicle, 30-year-old Heather Leanne Lentz of Council Bluffs, was arrested for felony possession of methamphetamine with intent to deliver 5 grams or more and possession of drug paraphernalia, a simple misdemeanor. She is currently being held in the Page County Jail on $100,000 bond, awaiting an appearance in front of a magistrate. During the traffic stop on Highway 2 near M Avenue at around 11:25 a.m., Friday, a Page County deputy and Canine Lucas arrived, and Canine Lucas was deployed and alerted to the presence of a controlled substance in the vehicle. A traffic stop Friday evening in Fremont County resulted in the arrest of a Nebraska man. Sheriff Kevin Astrope reports that around 7:10 p.m., deputies with the Fremont County Sheriff's Office stopped a 1998 Ford F-150 for speeding in the 2400 block of Highway 59 east of Riverton. The driver, 19-year-old Logan Last of Schubert, Nebraska, was arrested for possession of a controlled substance second offense, possession of drug paraphernalia, and possession of a handgun by a felon. Last was being held at the Fremont County Jail on $5,000 bond. Police in Shenandoah report 70-year-old Gerald Lynn Harrelson of Shenandoah was arrested Friday evening in connection with an ongoing investigation. Harrelson was taken into custody at around 7:30 p.m. on 2 counts of assault with intent to commit sexual abuse, an aggravated misdemeanor, and harassment third degree second offense, a simple misdemeanor. He was transported to the Page County Jail and held without bond pending an initial court appearance. The Red Oak Police Department reports 3 separate arrests from Friday evening and early this morning. At 5:35 p.m. on Friday evening, officers arrested 18-year-old Jonathan Bryce Ernst of Red Oak for criminal mischief in the fourth degree. Ernst was arrested in the 900 block of East Reed Street and taken to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and held on $1,000 cash bond. At 2:35 a.m. on Saturday, officers arrested 24-year-old Stephen Austin Ripley of Red Oak for public intoxication and simple assault. Ripley was arrested in the 300 block of East Reed Street and taken to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and held on $300 cash bond. Also at 2:41 a.m. this morning, officers arrested 38-year-old Terry Lynn Smith Jr. of Red Oak, also in the 300 block of East Reed Street, for public intoxication. He was taken to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and held on $300 cash bond. In other news, the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office on Friday afternoon released details pertaining to the funeral and procession route for Deputy Mark Burbridge. As previously mentioned, his funeral will be held at the Mid-America Center in Council Bluffs on Monday. Governor Branstad and Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds will be in attendance. Law enforcement officers attending the service are asked to arrive at the Mid-America Center at 7:30 a.m. on Monday. Doors to the Mid-America Center will be open for public seating at 8:30 a.m. Members of the public are asked to enter the center through the west entry doors. Following Deputy Burbridge's memorial service at the Mid-America Center, he will be returned to the Hoy Kilnoski Funeral Home in Council Bluffs, that funeral home located at 1221 North 16th Street in Council Bluffs. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office expects more than 1,000 law enforcement vehicles to take part in Deputy Burbridge's escort back to the funeral home. The procession is expected to begin between 11:45 a.m. and 12:15 p.m., and the entire route length is approximately 6.5 miles long. You can take a look at a map of the full anticipated route and also a written description of that route on the same story on our news page at KJN.com. Members of the public are welcome to line sidewalks and show their support. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office reminds the public to respect all parking laws and to ask permission before occupying private business property. And there will be some roadway closures that will be in effect at 11 a.m. on Monday for that procession. The I-80 eastbound off-ramp exit 3 on the South Expressway. The I-80 westbound off-ramp exit 3 will only be allowing southbound traffic. And traffic northbound on South Expressway north of Interstate Access will be closed. Roadways will reopen following the procession. The general roadway information, the intersections along the route will be blocked. The traveling public should expect significant delays along the procession route, and that procession is expected to last more than an hour from start to finish. Planned Parenthood and ACLU of Iowa are applauding the Iowa Supreme Court's decision to temporarily halt a 72-hour abortion waiting period soon after Governor Terry Branstad enacted several restrictions. The state will have an opportunity to respond to the temporary injunction on Monday. The court will then decide whether to extend the short-term injunction. Planned Parenthood notes the court's action Friday allowed 44 women with scheduled abortions to proceed with their appointments. Susanna DeBaca, CEO of Planned Parenthood of the Heartland, says in a statement that the law had caused confusion for patients. She says one woman had driven 7 hours to her appointment Friday and then was told she couldn't have the procedure that day. She says women were angry and upset at the intrusion into their lives. Ben Hams, a spokesman for Branstad, says the state believes a 72-hour waiting period will ultimately be implemented. He calls the court's injunction part of the process, adding that the governor expects the stay will soon be lifted. And Iowa Governor Terry Branstad has signed bills dealing with voter identification and medical malpractice. The voter identification measure requires voters to show ID at polls starting in 2019 and reduces Iowa's early voting period, which opponents say will suppress turnout. Republicans say it's necessary to protect against voter fraud while acknowledging the problem is rare. The medical malpractice law restricts some payouts to patients who win such lawsuits, though juries can override the cap in some instances. The 4th of July likely will have more sizzle as Governor Terry Branstad has signaled that he'll sign a bill into law that legalizes the sale of most fireworks in Iowa. Branstad announced on Friday that he'd signed the bill Tuesday, despite arguments from opponents expanding fireworks sales would lead to more injuries and property damage. Supporters responded that residents already bought fireworks in neighboring states and that people were overstating potential dangers. After being signed by Branstad, the law will legalize most consumer-grade fireworks, including bottle rockets, firecrackers, and Roman candles. The explosives could be sold from June 1st through July 8th and from December 10th through January 3rd in permanent structures or tents. Cities could prohibit the use of fireworks but not outlaw their sale. The Legislative Services Agency estimates the law will generate $1.5 million in sales tax revenue for the 2018 fiscal year. And Atlantic Police Chief Dave Erickson reports two local women were arrested on separate warrants on Thursday. 45-year-old Heidi Powell of Atlantic was taken into custody on a Cass County warrant for failure to appear at a probation revocation hearing. And 28-year-old Catherine Coleman of Atlantic was arrested on an Adams County warrant for OWI second offense. Both women were booked into the Cass County jail. That's a look at some of the latest in local news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements this morning. Don Klaus, age 86 of Messina, died Tuesday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Don Klaus will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Messina United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has arrangements. Ruth V. Peppers, age 99 of Exira, died Tuesday at the Ottoman County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Ruth Peppers will be held here today at 10:30 a.m. at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Ruth Evelyn Tibben, age 93 of Anita, died April 24th at Caring Acres Nursing and Rehab in Anita. Memorial services for Ruth Evelyn Tibben will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Chapel at Hockaberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. Lloyd L. Oakley, age 85 of Audubon, died Tuesday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Lloyd Oakley will be held today at 2 p.m. at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Gerald K., age 98 of Atlantic, died Wednesday at his home. Funeral services for Gerald K. will be held on Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the First United Presbyterian Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Michelle Marie White Moore, age 55, of Gallup, New Mexico, formerly of the Griswold area, died April 17th at the University of New Mexico Hospital in Albuquerque, New Mexico. A celebration of life service for Marie Moore will be held on a Saturday, May 27th, at the Faith Lutheran Church in Griswold, beginning at 1 p.m., followed by visitation until 3 p.m. Reconvene Funeral Home in Griswold has the arrangements. And Andrew Andy Fredrickson, age 66 of Atlantic, died Thursday at home. Services for Andy Fredrickson are pending at Hockaberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. That's a look at your latest in the news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.